Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Follow God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
It goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man is talking about your physical body, the part of me that you see, your mental, emotional part, your soulish realm. Your natural man does not understand the things of God. It can't perceive the things of God. It's foolishness to them. Well, that is a profound statement. And I can't tell you how many Christians are trying to figure God out with their little peanut brain. And they're looking for physical things like fleeces. They're wanting this to happen and that to happen. And they're trying to perceive God in the natural realm. You know, we've got a natural body and God created it and it's good. There's nothing wrong with it. But brothers and sisters, you are more than a hunk of chemicals. You are more than an animal. You are not an evolved animal that you just go by physical stimuli and what you feel. There is a spirit on the inside of you that's eternal. It'll never die. It'll be alive a million years from now. There is a spirit man that has capabilities that are a million times greater than your physical body. You can know things by your heart that you can't know in the physical. Man, I could get plumb off the subject right here, but I'm thinking right now about how God has shown me some things. When I went and saw the show, The Passion of the Christ, so many people just were overwhelmed. They had an epiphany, and I heard all these great reports. So I went to see it, prepared to be totally blessed. And I was blessed to a degree, but you know what? I was actually disappointed because what I saw through the Word of God by the Spirit was so much more graphic, so much more real than what you could portray on a camera. You can see better with your heart than you can see with your eyes. You can know things. I've been praying for people and I have spoken to people and told them things that I've never seen these people before. I don't know anything about them. And yet I've said things to them that they said, that's right. How did you know this? It's the Holy Spirit. I've called people's names out before that I've never seen and told them their name. Jesus did that. Come down, Zacchaeus, for I'll go to your house today. If you are operating out of your brain only, now you have to use your brain to drive and to do things. I'm not saying you turn it off. But I'm saying if you are limited to your brain, forgive me for being blunt, but you are ignorant. You aren't using the full deck. You aren't playing with the full deck. God made you to operate out of your spirit, man. Your spirit is the part that's changed. Your spirit is a part of you that is now like Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, speaking of Jesus, so are we in this world. It didn't say so are we going to be in the next world. Your physical body is going to change in the next world. Your mind is going to be renewed in the next world. But so are we in this world. How can you understand that? That's not true of your physical body. It's not true of your soul. But it is true of your spirit. Your spirit is identical to Jesus right now. It's the same as it's going to be a million years from now. And according to 1 John 2:20, you know all things. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says, Put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Your new man, the spirit part of you, is renewed in knowledge. You know everything in your spirit. Every question that you have, your spirit knows the answer to it. Every wisdom that you need, you've already got it in your spirit. He's already abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. And if you just keep reading right here in verse 15, it says, But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We aren't going to have the mind of Christ. We have, present tense, the mind of Christ. And again, people go look at their last test score and they say, I don't have the mind of Christ. It's not talking about up here in your brain. In your spirit, you have the mind of Christ. You have the same knowledge that Jesus has. Everything that Jesus knows, your born again spirit knows. Man, I don't know if that helps you. When the Lord first showed me these things, I was overwhelmed, like, God, this can't be so. But I kept studying, and it's just there in the Word of God. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Your new man has been renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Don't be ignorant, but understanding the will of the Lord, because God has given you that ability. You can do it. I finally saw that it's there, and then I started saying, God, how do I get this out? If I've got this knowledge on the inside of me, how do I get it out? And God showed me a lot of things. I just want to show you one thing tonight. One thing that will help you follow God's will and unlock this knowledge that's on the inside of you tremendously. So right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's go back up to the first part of this chapter where Paul is talking about how he came to him and ministered to him. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Boy, that's powerful. I'm not going to preach on that, but that is really powerful. This is talking about grace, not law, not performance, but rather talking about Jesus accomplished it for us. And in verse 3, and he says, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Man, that is a powerful statement. You know, this is opposite what most of the preaching in the body of Christ is today. Most of the preaching in the body of Christ is smoke and mirrors. It's intellectual, it's entertaining, but it's not demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You know, Paul, again, is defending his authority and saying, you guys need to listen to me, because he says you could have 10,000 instructors, but you've only got one Father. I'm the one that God used to get you birthed into the kingdom. I've got a right to speak into your life. And he spent the first four chapters defending his authority and stuff. And finally, over in the fourth chapter, I'm coming back to chapter 2, but in the fourth chapter, he says over in verse 18, "Now some of you are puffed up," talking about operating in pride, "as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them that are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." You know, basically what he's doing after giving all of these arguments, he just basically says, all right, here's the way we're going to do this. When I come to you, it's not going to be the people that can talk and have an argument and you say this and that. We're going to look at the power that's in your life. If you can't see a person healed, if you're walking in defeat yourself, if you're sick, if you're diseased, if you're poor, if the word isn't working for you, if you don't have any power in your life, then sit down and shut up. Only the people that have demonstration of the power of God are going to be allowed to speak. Boy, if we did that in the body of Christ today, there'd be a lot of empty pulpits. There's a lot of people that can preach and they sound good, but they don't have any demonstration in their life. There's no power in their life. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, that Jesus went with them and worked with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders following. If a person doesn't have demonstration of signs and wonders, and people say, well, people are being blessed and lives are being changed, and yes, that's a great truth and that's a part of it, but I'm telling you, the Bible says, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father, John 14, 12. And so, yes, changing a life is important, but you know what? People ought to be able to see the dead raised, the blind eyes open, deaf ears open. They ought to be able to see people delivered of demonic things. There should be prosperity and other things working. And if we judged ministers today the way the Word says to judge them, and if there isn't any power in you, then you can't speak. You don't have a right to speak. That would solve a lot of our problems. And some of our biggest churches would be closed, because all they are is entertainment. Amen. Or oh me. So this is what Paul's talking about over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the reason he did it this way, so that it wasn't his great words and his oratory that changed people. The reason he did it this way, verse 4 says, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. So that you wouldn't give glory to people, but you'd recognize, man, this is God. Maybe the person speaks great, but you know what? This person, blind eyes open. That wasn't his talking that did that. That's the power of God. And God gets the credit instead of just somebody who's got fancy vocabulary. In verse 6, it says, howbeit, after he said all of these things, he's trying to say now that I'm not against wisdom. And I'm not against somebody who speaks wisdom. Christianity is not ignorant. You know, Pentecostals have been criticized for a long time that they're just ignorant, unlearned people, and that people don't know anything. No, there is great wisdom in the Word of God, but it's not the wisdom of this world. It's counter to the wisdom of this world. Like in the area of finances, people in the world will tell you that in a recession, stop. We had a Barna survey that David gave me, and when the recession hit, Barna did a survey, and I forget the figures right now, but it was a huge segment of the body of Christ quit giving or decreased their giving to try and deal with the recession. And you know what? To the natural mind, to a carnal person, to the natural man who can't understand spiritual things, well, then that's the way you do it. If you're going to have a hardship, you got to decrease. You got to tighten your belt. You got to cut back. But man, that's the worst thing that you could have possibly done. From a spiritual perception, man, when you are in need, you need to sow greater than you've ever sown. Giving is the way that you increase.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled, How to Follow God's Will. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1067C for CD or R3211D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The 5th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU16C titled The Wisdom of God in a Mystery when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'd like to thank all of the partners of Andrew Womack Ministry for making this radio program available. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to broadcast on radio and on television. And if you aren't a partner with us, I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a partner. We spend around $1 million a month on radio and television airtime, and we give our materials away. It's not covered in just the cost of the things that we give away. If it wasn't for partners who gave over and above what it cost to put the gospel out to you, we could not continue this ministry. So if the Lord has blessed you, and you would like to see other people blessed with this ministry, I'd like to encourage you to pray about it and then call us at 719-635-1111 and become a partner today.